Well, as you can see, our main focus this morning is the altar. And on this altar, we have the elements of the Lord's Supper, the symbols of Christ's sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. We have the bread symbolizing his body and the cup symbolizing his shed blood on the cross for us. And we've been in this study of the book of Romans, and there's no better passage of scripture in Romans to go with our Lord's Supper observance than Romans 12 and verse 1. So that single verse, would you just turn there with me in the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1? Because as we are remembering the sacrifice of Jesus, this verse tells us that we should also be reminded of the sacrifice that each one of us are called to ourselves. You see, it's not just Jesus that gave his all on the cross, but New Testament Christianity is each one of us also giving our all in love and devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just look at that verse. It begins with an interesting couple of words. He says, Paul speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I beseech you, or your Bible might say, I urge you. It's an interesting word in the original language of the Bible. It's the word parakaleo. Now we use that prefix para quite a bit in our English language. We talk about parapros in our public school system. We talk about paraprofessionals in the area of medicine. And we know what a parapro is from those two designations. It is someone who works alongside a professional. That's what para means, being alongside. As a matter of fact, the word for Holy Spirit in the Bible is paraclete, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes alongside of us. As a matter of fact, he's in this building right here at this very moment, and he's coming alongside many of you there in the back and down through these center aisles and all the way to the front and into the choir loft, and he's putting his arm around you and he's encouraging you. He is our paraclete, and it's in this spirit that Paul says, I beseech you. I'm not standing up in the pulpit in my ivory tower and preaching down to you and commanding you to do something. No. I'm coming down as one of you. I'm coming down alongside you. And it's not an imperative in my voice, but it is a pleading in my voice as I urge you and beseech you to do something so very important. So as we unpack that first verse, let's just see more of what Paul is pleading with us to do. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Don't fly over that word brethren too quickly, because he's speaking to family members. He's using that term of endearment to say, this is for Christians. What I'm saying here is for people who have already trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And that's what this Lord's Supper is for. It is for those who have been saved and those who have been scripturally baptized. And there might be some here today say, well, you know, I haven't been saved yet. I'm not in God's family yet. I'm going to give you an opportunity just in a very few moments to be saved, to come and make your public stand for Christ. And then you can be a part of this wonderful symbolic ordinance today. And so he's speaking to believers. I beseech you, I urge you, I plead with you with everything that's in me. Brethren, those of us who are in the family of God, those of us who are in the household of faith, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now let's just talk about what it means to present your body as a living sacrifice. Under the Old Testament sacrificial system, the sacrificial animal did not offer itself voluntarily. It was bound to the altar. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament altar, it was a table like this, bigger than this, and on each one of the four corners were horns that protruded from the altar. And those horns were there to tie the sacrificial animal down so that it would not leave the altar. And quite different from what Paul is talking about here, we don't need to be tied down, but as living sacrifices, we voluntarily offer ourselves, just like Jesus voluntarily offered himself on the cross. And I know a lot of people are thinking, well, yeah, there weren't horns tying Jesus to the cross, but the nails were keeping him on the cross. No, the nails didn't keep Jesus on the cross. In a moment's time, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and to set him free. It wasn't the nails that kept Jesus on the cross. It was his love for you and me. That's what kept him on the cross. And for us believers, being inspired by Christ's voluntary sacrifice, we present ourselves on the altar of sacrifice willingly. No one has to tie us down. We do it voluntarily. But here's the problem with a living sacrifice. When the heat gets too hot, when the pain becomes too unbearable, and our sacrifice becomes too miserable to us, as a living sacrifice, we can get up off the altar and say, God, this is too much. Instead of staying, we can flee. I've done that before. And I think if you're honest, there are many times that you voluntarily said, yes, Lord, I will make this sacrifice. I will give myself in this area. And then the pain got too intense and the misery became too unbearable that you said, Lord, I can't handle this anymore. And you got up off the altar. That's the problem with a living sacrifice, is we don't have to stay there. You know, there was a young Anglican bishop by the name of John Smith, and he was a wonderful man of God. As a youngster, he developed wonderful spiritual habits, and he's the one who, way back in the late 1800s, coined the term quiet time, and now it's been used for generations, even to this present day, where Christians are encouraged to take a time, a period of time out of the day, a time when they can just focus on God, remove all the distractions, and have a quiet time where they can study God's Word, where they can pray, where they can meditate on what God has to say. It was this Anglican bishop who loved the Lord, way back there as a youngster in the late 1800s, that developed that concept of a quiet time. And someone asked him, toward the end of his life, what was the secret of his spiritual life? And I will quote him. He answered, "Every day when I awake, I do something before I get out of bed. I lift up my heart to the Lord and I say, Blessed Lord, this bed is the altar." Can you see this? This guy's eyes flicker open in the morning before he even makes a move out of the bed. He begins praying, "God, this bed is my altar, and my body is the sacrifice. I gladly offer myself up to you, so that for these next 24 hours I may be thine alone, for thy pleasure and for thy service." Charles Stanley has described many times being inspired by this example of this Anglican bishop, and he does that every morning. I've heard him say it many times. He'll lay there on his bed and he said, "God, I just want to dedicate every part of my being to you at the first part of this day." And he starts at the top of his head, "Lord, I dedicate my brain to you, that it will think thoughts that are pure, that there'll be thoughts that are from you." And God, I dedicate my eyes that I will not look upon anything that is unworthy. Father, I dedicate my lips to you that I will not speak in anger, that I will not gossip, that I will not sow seeds of discord, but that the words that come from my mouth will only be encouraging to other people and lifting praises to your name. And on he'd go with his hands, his feet, his ears, and he makes his bed an altar, just like this altar here. And he becomes a living sacrifice. Well, this young Anglican bishop by the name of John Taylor Smith, as a young man, enjoyed being in his native homeland of Great Britain. As a matter of fact, he rose to really prominent places of prestige. When Queen Victoria was reigning, he became her chaplain. And when she died, her son, King Edward VII, made Smith the chaplain general of Great Britain. And so he had a lot of comfort and a lot of happy experiences there in his native Great Britain. But God was dealing with his heart about being a missionary. And he received a call to a church in Calcutta, India. And he immediately dismissed it. Lord, that's just too different from England. The sacrifice to go to this place that is so different from my experience here in England, I just can't see myself doing it. Shortly after he refused that call to that pulpit, he got another call to be a pastor in Sierra Leone, West Africa. You think it's hot here today? West Africa, from what I hear, is just hot beyond imagination. And he struggled again with the call to missions, and so he did something kind of unusual. He went down to Westminster Abbey. If you've ever been to London, you know Westminster Abbey is a place where many famous dignitaries, poets, even a missionary is buried there, a missionary by the name of Livingstone. And this missionary who was struggling so much with the call to Sierra Leone went to find Livingstone's tomb. And there something momentous happened to him. He read the engraving on Livingstone's tomb, and it was scripture from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it said, and I quote, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring." And as Taylor Smith stood there, he asked God some questions. He said, "Lord, who will bring these sheep if we do not offer our feet to go? How shall they be brought if our hands are not working to bring them? How shall they hear if our lips do not speak to them? How shall they know of your love if our hearts do not love them?" And by that tombside, Taylor Smith presented himself as a living sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ in a distant land. He gave up the comforts and the conveniences, the pleasures and the familiarity of his homeland for the call to missions. Toward the end of his life in the 1930s, he had an active retirement. He was so popular here in the United States that it was set up for him to come and do a preaching series in the United States and Canada, and he just preached his heart out to the point that he had to be hospitalized. But he regained his energy, and someone persuaded him to go on a missionary endeavor to Australia, and they would have to sail on the SS Orion, and he went there, he preached his heart out, this 78-year-old man, and was to the point of exhaustion when he boarded the boat again and to take the long trip back to Great Britain. But the people there on board so much loved his preaching, they had him preach every night. And they were about a week out from Great Britain when he preached on a Sunday night. He preached as earnestly as he knew how, and I'll quote the closing of his message. He urged people to make a decision for Christ without delay. And he said, and I quote, "Do it now, for though we expect to arrive in England next week, none of us can know if we'll ever get there." Taylor Smith went to bed that night, woke up the next morning, was sitting at the breakfast table, and quietly slipped away from this life into eternity. 6:30 p.m. that evening, it was arranged for his remains to be buried at sea. And they knew he loved the hymn, "Abide with Me." As a matter of fact, it's in your hymn book, hymn number 88. You might want to turn there and see the hymn that inspired this missionary to Africa so much. And so as the story goes, the day that his remains were going to be committed to the deep, they placed the 78-year-old's body on an altar, on a board, and placed the Union Jack, the flag of England, over his body, and sang this hymn that is before you. And his body slipped from onboard the USS Orion into the depths as he was buried at sea. Look at that last verse and how poignant it is. "Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life and death, O Lord, abide with me." It is the abiding presence of God who gives us the strength to stay on the altar of sacrifice as a living sacrifice. Oh, there is one phrase I did not explain to you in Romans 12:1. Oh, we talked about all this first part. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. But I didn't talk about this phrase, which is your spiritual service, or your Bible might say, reasonable service of worship. You see, we've come into this building to worship. But a lot of people's idea of what worship is I get something when I worship. That is a false and unbiblical idea of worship. We don't come here to get. We come here to give. And that's why this altar is here, to remind us that Jesus gave his all, and to remind us of the call in Romans 12:1 that we are to willingly give our bodies as a living sacrifice in light of what God has done for us. That's what real worship is. Don't leave this building today and say, "I worshiped at First Baptist Church," if you didn't give something of yourself today. If you didn't crawl up on the altar and say, "God, I give you my mouth. I give you my eyes. I give you my hands. I give you my feet." That's what real worship is. So what I want us to do today is, as our hymn of commitment, to sing all four verses of that beautiful "Abide with Me," the same song that was sung when Taylor Smith's body was slid from his altar into the depths of the sea. Now I'm going to be standing right here. I'm going to be waiting for you. And if there's someone here, maybe a lot of someones, who need to become a part of the family of God, you want to be a part of that brethren statement, you want to be a sister of Christ here, I invite you to come. There might be some of us here today that have already trusted Christ, but God is speaking to you about giving of yourself and becoming a part of this church family. I invite you, I encourage you to come if God is speaking to you in that way. Maybe it's just that God wants you to come to this altar today. and do business with Him. Whatever it is, let's stand together, let's sing, and you come.